Good morning, church. Go ahead and turn those Bibles. We're going to be in a few different spaces, but the majority of our time is going to be camped out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read the first 11 verses together. We're going to pray together. We're going to find ourselves at times in Romans. We'll slow the game down so you can find yourself there. We're going to see ourselves in the book of Revelation near the end. But all throughout, you will see scripture in 1 Corinthians. So if anything, if you said, Hunter, you got me in one spot, where do you want me to go? I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Do you know your gifts? If you're a note taker, if you're like me, where you say, hey, Hunter, give me the central theme, brother. I need something for my mind to grab onto so I don't lose you at times. Do I know my gifts? Do you believe that you have been gifted? If you are a born-again believer in Christ, do you believe that you are something new, something special, filled with the Spirit, and you are gifted? And now here's my second one. We're going to be constantly pulling from this thread. Have you been faithful, pouring out what has been so graciously poured in? Very simple. Have I been faithful, pouring out of what has been so gracefully poured into? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to pray. Hey, Liam, come on up here, brother. You're going to pray for me after I read this. Come on up here. If you're new to the church, this is my oldest son. Man, I love this kid. I woke up this morning, got dressed, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, my goodness, I'm getting older. You are not a little kid anymore. You're choosing to tuck your shirt in. That's a different phase of life. So I'm going to read, and you're going to pray. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed, some of your Bibles might say. You know that you were once Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led there. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to highlight verses 4 through 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all of them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Take a second. We're not in a rush. Highlight, underline, do whatever you got to do. The profit of all. It is one of our main essential points this morning. The profit of all. Verse 8. For no one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works in all of these things, church, giving to each one individually as he wills. Press rewind. Why? For the profit of all. Let's bow our heads. Pray for us, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for this world and for this day, and just be with the ones who are suffering from COVID and how they might not be able to see their parents or even see their friends like we are. Be with the people who are church are shut down and aren't able to worship the Lord, and give them courage to worship you anyway. And be with the people who are struggling with diseases and cancer, like Ella Carey. And be with families that they can join with each other. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. I just know how to talk. I don't know how to do all these other things. Have you been faithful pouring out what has been so graciously poured into? Do you know your gifts? In 1962, a man by the name of Stan Lee created a superhero by the name of Spider-Man. Now, Spider-Man was first introduced in 1962, about 60-something years ago, in the comic book, which was titled Amazing Fantasy, issue number 15. Now, if you are a 90-year-old grandparent or you're a 9-year-old child, most of us know who Spider-Man is. From the grandparent to the child who lives or loves the grandparent, we admire and love and we have fond memories of watching movies and playing with figures and reading comic books of this amazing superhero in Spider-Man. In an interview with Stan Lee, which is not here with us anymore, he passed away 2-3 years ago, he was asked the question, among a generation of beloved superheroes and movies that are so popular in today's culture, you have Captain America and the Hulk and Iron Man and Batman and Superman. Why does everyone gravitate to Spider-Man? Why do people from young to old know this character? And Stan Lee said it well. He said, I created Spider-Man when I was a young man. And I wrote him after myself and what I was experiencing. And the reason that the world loves and knows the amazing Spider-Man is because they can relate to him. There is a great sense of relatability. I don't know what it's like to be the Hulk. I don't know what it's like to be Captain America or Batman or Superman. But I understand Peter Parker. And you say, who is Peter Parker? Peter Parker is the other ego, the other alternate idea of who Spider-Man is. It is the man behind the mask. In Amazing Fantasy 15, this Peter Parker, who's 16, 17 years old at the time, he's an unsocial, strange, awkward, nerdy type individual. He has acne. He's not good in sports. He can't get the girl. He struggles on a daily basis not to get his lunch money taken from him. And so he's on a field trip with his school, and he's taking pictures and all these things, and he gets bitten by a radioactive spider. And as you know, just scientifically, if you get bitten by a radioactive spider, you're probably going to have some radioactive superpowers. And this is what happens to the character of Spider-Man. So all of a sudden, no muscles, no touchdown, no girls, and all of a sudden, my man has no acne. His face clears up. Girls are looking at him. He's scoring. He's flipping. He's doing all kinds of crazy things. So Peter Parker says, how can I take these amazing gifts and prosper? So he says, I'm going to make some money. So in 1962, the comic book Amazing Fantasy 15, he gets bitten by this radioactive spider. He's strong. He's developed. He's a superhuman, right? He says, I'm going to go into this wrestling competition because whoever wins this wrestling competition wins $1,000. So he signs up, and guess what? He wins. I went from broke and nothing to $1,000, and I'm climbing up walls, right? A lot of us would dream of this. So after he wins and he gets his money, there's someone who comes in and robs the place. And he's running past young, nerdy Peter Parker. And the owner of the establishment says, hey, stop him, stop him, stop him. And Peter looks at the owner and says, hey, this is your problem, not mine. The robber, the burglar runs past Parker, gets on the elevator, goes downstairs, runs out the building, and he comes face to face with Peter's guardian. Peter's mom and dad has passed away, and he lives with his uncle and Aunt May. And Uncle Ben stands in front of the robber as he comes out the building. 60 years ago, he sees in this comic book, Uncle Ben says, stop. The burglar pulls out a gun, shoots Uncle Ben. The same robber that Peter Parker allows to run past him 60-something years ago. Peter runs out the building with his $1,000. He's on a high. I'm living life. I'm a supernatural human being at this point. Do whatever I want to. Sees his uncle before his eyes, gasping for air. He goes down to his knee. He hugs his uncle. And in his last dying breath, Uncle Ben says to Peter Parker, with great power comes great what? Responsibility. Look at you guys. I heard more adults than kids. So responsibility. Responsibility, Hunter. I know this one. For the next 60 years, we'll get movie after movie after movie, hundreds of comic books, coloring books, cartoons, action figures, all of these things. And we get to see this great battle between Peter Parker and Spider-Man. The relatability, the tension between the same and difference. What will I do, church, with this great power? What will I do with these great powers? Will I live for myself or will I live to help others? Will I see how I can best profit? I have come from nothing. I am now something. I'm going to get the girl. I'm going to score the touchdown. I'm going to make the money. Or am I going to be faithful pouring out of what has been so freely poured into? Now, last Sunday was our Vision Sunday. And the challenge to our Vision Sunday is, will you feed the storehouse? Will you be a part of something bigger and spectacular in the house of God and what the Lord is doing here? Will you pour out of what's been poured into? Now, whenever I talk about feeding the storehouse and spiritual gifts and being the supernatural, born-again believer in Christ, I usually get two responses. One is vocal and one is subconscious. One, people can hear, the other people can see. The one that I always hear from everybody, and some of you guys might be thinking about it today, Hunter, I don't know how I'm gifted. I'm not Spider-Man. If you're looking for Spider-Man, I'm not Spider-Man. I'm Peter Parker at best. I can't sing. I can't speak. I don't really like children. I don't know what to do. I'm not rich. I can't give you money. I don't know how to do anything to profit all people, let alone even myself. Can you help me learn what I can do? I get that from the majority of people when you speak on spiritual gifts. I hear it. But the one thing you see that people aren't brave enough to hear, I get individuals who know what they're gifted in. I have a pretty good idea of where I am strong and how I can help many, but the reality is, I just don't want to give them to you. I want the money, I want to win the match, I want to score the touchdown, I want to get the girl way more than I want to profit all people. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to address the two tensions of Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Do you know your gifts, and are you faithful in them? Go back to verses 4 through 7. Paul says, this is not rocket science. This isn't hard to understand. Even if you are a young person, if you are born again, you are saved. Listen to me. I believe you are gifted just like your mom and daddy are gifted. It says in 4, there are diversities of gifts. There are diversities in gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. I told you to highlight and underline. Why? For the profit of all. Now, Paul here in 1 Corinthians is speaking to a church, an actual group of people who are struggling in many ways. And he sits there and he says, listen, if you are born again, if you profess Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you understand that you are saved by nothing of your doing, but by the grace of God and by the faith of man, if you are born again, then Scripture is very clear that you have been changed, that you have been renowned, you have been reborn in this image of the Lord, and you have special gifts to the profit all people given by the same God for the same purpose for the profit of all. Now go to Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. If you don't want to flip there, you can hear my words, but I want you to see verses 4 through 6. So Paul says, this is who you are now. You are no longer Parker. You are something special. But I want to ask if you'll be faithful in your gifts. Look at verses 4. This is chapter 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we are being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, I love this, let us use them. Let us be faithful in them. If you are here, if you profess Christ, born again, we all have supernatural gifts given by the Spirit to bless the church and to honor God, 100% of us. What we see in chapters 1, verses 1 through 3 and chapter 12, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant when it comes to this. That one way that man can differentiate between the lost and the saved, hang on it, or from the saved to the backsliding, the one who struggles with faith, is the altar in which they lay their gifts on. Hear this. One way to differentiate between the faithfully strong or the spiritually weak, the lost and the saved, is the altar in which they lay their gifts on. Scripture is very clear, church. God before family. But family before church. However, Scripture and what Paul is saying to these people is that it is very clear that the gifts given to you and I were not just for your family or for yourself. It is the profit of all people. And in the profit of all people, this is why you have been gifted. That is where we see the tension between Peter Parker and Spider-Man. What will I do with these great powers? Will I look at just how to bless my home, how to bless myself, or will I look to the kingdom of God to bless and profit all? In verses 8 through 11, we're not going to read them, but Paul lays out all of these different qualities and characteristics that God might be doing through the Spirit in your life. He says, a spiritual gift is wisdom. A spiritual gift is knowledge and faith and healing and prophecy and tongues and giving, leadership and encouragement and serving. And he says the Holy Spirit, what he's doing, he is growing these in you to profit the kingdom of God. Now, for so many of us, we've been blessed in ways, and some of us are stronger than others in certain areas. But even though we might be all called to serve or to give or to be faithful, for some of you, you have been gifted in such phenomenal, unique ways that it stands out even from the pack. And what I mean by that, are we all called to be faithful in Christ? Amen. Of course we are. But have you ever met an individual who their faith is just different? Their faith is unique. Their faith is being able to be understood. And you just sit there and you go, how are you so faithful all of the time in these unique, difficult circumstances? They've been gifted by God for the profit of all people. And these faithful individuals or these wise individuals or these knowledgeable individuals, they are called to step forward, insert themselves in the body of Christ for the profit of all people. Says for some of you, you'll be given the gift of encouragement. To me, to not encourage is something I don't even understand, how someone could be a part of something and not encourage each other. But for some of us, we don't think of those things. You're not natural encouragers, but for some of you guys, like, that is where your mind goes. Like, how do I bless and how do I encourage and how do I pick up and how do I serve and how do I love? Like, that's how your mind goes. And he says, listen, that is a phenomenal gift that will give fuel to the church. For some of you, it's leadership. You know, just because you're in a position doesn't mean that you're good at that position. I've seen a lot of people who are quote-unquote supervisors. Or they're in leadership positions, but they're not really gifted in that area. For some of you guys, you are natural and God-given strength leaders. Everything you touch in faith just grows and people want to be around you. That is a gift. That is not just who you genetically are or what you've learned from your father. That is what God is doing in you to profit all. Now, a few months ago, we taught 9 weeks. It's on YouTube. I encourage you to go see it. 9 weeks on the Holy Spirit. We broke down every one of these gifts. We spent 2 weeks just connecting each gift to a scripture. I encourage you to go back and listen to it on the podcast or YouTube. That's not what we're doing this morning. We're not having a deep theological breakdown and dissecting of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. This morning, I am just simply asking you, have you been faithful pouring into the church what has been so graciously poured into you? Have you been faithful in the process of the prophet of all? Have you been faithful in the process of the prophet of all? Now, I want to highlight that word all. When Scripture says all, it is not meaning these four walls. When Scripture says all, it is not saying your viewpoint and your goal, your end game is Eastview. No, it is talking about the brotherhood. It is talking about the sisterhood, the family of Christ. It is talking that we want to see our brothers and sisters who are of every skin color and every nationality, our brothers in Africa and New Zealand and Georgia and other parts of Tennessee and other denominations. We want to see Christians prosper in their growth in the Lord. How can we love? How can we teach? How can we disciple the world? However, church, Paul is, in fact, in 1 Corinthians talking to a specific group of people about their specific gathering. Rewind just a few chapters. Paul is also speaking to these people about the Lord's Supper. So when I stand up here and we do the Lord's Supper and we read those famous verses, that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul looks at him and says, what are you guys doing? Like, he's speaking to them about their gathering, about their worship. So you fast forward a chapter and he's speaking to them about their gifts. He's asking them, do you pour your supernatural gifts into the local church for its strength and the profit of all people? Look at verses 12 through 14 again in 1 Corinthians. It says in 12, or these are verses we haven't read yet. Look at 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body are one. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Last verse here. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it is many. Hear my words, church, if you're a note taker. The strength and faith will begin with an individual. It will bless and strengthen a local church, which can and will change the world. I want you to see the process in what Paul is saying to them. He's not looking at just some radical, faithful individual who says, hey, listen, let's get on a plane and go to Africa. He goes, no, listen, understand the flow. To impact the world will start with the faith of an individual connected to the strength of a local church, which can and will change the world. I was really, really encouraged by the feedback from Sunday. If you weren't here on Sunday, we had our Vision Sunday. And when I got home, and this is every Sunday, I'll get a few text messages and phone calls, and I'll get questions, and I'll get emails from people who live in other states and other countries at times. And that's a normal every week occurrence. But Sunday was different, man. My phone was just just constantly with text messages and phone calls all throughout the day. And I was really encouraged by this because as a man and as a pastor, I need encouragement. I need to be poured into. I needed that a boy. I need to hear good job. Like, that's my love language, right? But while I was encouraged, I told my wife, I'm so encouraged by what I'm hearing in the feedback on Sunday because it really wasn't a sermon. It wasn't like, Hunter, man, you crushed this message. It wasn't the music was phenomenal. It wasn't Sunday school was great. You know what it was? He was, man, I am in love with my God. I am filled with His Spirit, and I am thankful for His church. And just constantly, people were texting me and calling me. I am so encouraged to be a part of what God is doing here. Now, what makes that possible? How is that possible? Why is that so? Why was that the feedback? I had this thought as I was thanking God in prayer for what we were seeing on Sunday. And I thought back about 3 years ago at one of our men's work days. Once a year or twice a year, we have a men's work day where we have a to-do list filled of things to do. We have so many gifted and talented and skilled men here that we try to make that list as robust as we can because that's our opportunity to get as much free labor as possible. And so we made this list, and it was more of a robust list than normal, and it had all kinds of wild things on it. We said, hey, we need as many men. Brad Douglas stood up here. We need as many men as can come because we're mowing the grass. And you go, well, that's not a very hard job, Hunter. It's a handful of acres to do this. It takes about 3 to 4 hours to finish it. He says, we're mowing the grass. We're going to weed eat the whole ground, which takes a long time too. We're going to do all the shrubs. We're going to lay mulch around the whole building. Not only are we going to do that yard work, we might build a playground. Like, I don't know if you've ever built a school-sized playground before, but it is not easy. And I remember those guys. I remember David Evans being one of them. I remember out there just trying their best to build this with a happy Christian attitude, right? We're going to build a playground. And hey, listen, I don't know if you ever heard of Gaga Ball, but we're going to build a Gaga Ball arena. We're going to do that together too. And our hose won't reach to the fence, so we want to make sure that we clean the whole fence by hand. It was a long and it was an overwhelming list. And I was amazed that morning as I was telling my wife, hey, listen, I might be home for dinner. I'm going to get there around 7 a.m. I'm going to have some sausage and biscuits. That's what unskilled people do. They bring sausage and biscuits. I'm going to be there with some sausage and biscuits. I'm going to get there at 7, and babe, I might see you 7 tonight. I was amazed to get there at 7 a.m. as all the men poured into the church. And we left before I could order them lunch. It's amazing in life when you get a group of people that have the same desire, the same purpose, and the same direction. It's amazing to see what can be accomplished. And the church is no different. You see this in every aspect of life. You see this in marriage, and you see this in corporations. You see this on sports teams. You see this in family. And you know where else you see it? The church. You see it when you have a body of people who say, hey, listen, I am different. I have different gifts. I have a different purpose, and I want to be faithful pouring those gifts into the body. Why? Because I believe that I want to be a part of the prophet of all. I've been gifted in teaching, so I want to teach. I've been gifted in worship, so I want to worship. I've been gifted in encouragement, so I want to encourage. I've been gifted in serving, so I want to serve. Do you know what happens when you have 250 people moving in the same desired, purposeful direction? It's amazing. It's amazing. Some sermon guys, you need hard words. There are sermons and thoughts and teaching opportunities that the church needs to hear, challenging, convicting words. But there's also times where you just need to see our strengths in front of you, but to be encouraged to continue and praise God with what you're experiencing. That is what today is. This is one of our strengths. You don't need to be beat over the head. You need to see it. Praise God for it, and be encouraged to continue in it. I have a brother, a friend of mine, who texts me every Saturday night, around 10 o'clock at night, and says, what's the sermon tomorrow, Hunter, every week? And I said, brother, it's spiritual gifts. And I put that little statement, I put the quotation marks, and I said, will you pour out of what's been so graciously poured into? And he goes, whoo! That's what he texts, whoo! He goes, should be a hard one. And I thought to myself, why? It's an easy one. It's a good one. It's an encouraging one. Like when you are that church, when you're the church who's moving in that direction, praise Jesus. This is not a hard, solemn, depressing type message of you leaving with your head down. Man, I am not worth anything. This is praise Jesus for doing something in me, which I've been faithful in doing for the profit of others. This is one of Eastview's strengths. We are a sanctuary of Spider-Men. a sanctuary of Spider-Man. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at Revelation chapter 3. This is some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. I love reading, studying, dissecting, and teaching on the seven churches. Love this text. I've done a few series on them years ago here at the church. Really enjoy all of these verses. But I want you to see, as God speaks to John about the seven different churches, we're going to read about verses 7 through 13, but I want you to understand the context. God himself is speaking to John, who's literally captured in Patmos, and he's telling him to write to these seven literal churches. Figuratively today, he's using it to speak to us, but during that time, these were seven real churches with seven real people in them. You have the loveless church. You have the persecuted church, the corrupt church, the compromising church. You have the dead church. You have the lukewarm church. And then you have the faithful church. In all seven of these churches, they have stories. They had many strengths, just phenomenal gifts and all these things going for them. But their stories usually ended with them giving away to sin and more being ideal on how do I profit myself or comfortable myself versus the profit of all for the kingdom of God. Except for this small little church, they say is the faithful one. Listen to verses 7 through 13. It says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write this. Philadelphia in the United States, which is called the city of brotherly love, it's literally connected to this scripture. That's why it's called that. It says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David and who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. In all of the letters, God says this, and it's such a powerful statement. He's not saying, I see what you do. He says, I know your heart. He said, listen, you might have a Sunday morning sermon that is phenomenal and music that's great and all of these things going on, or you might look the part, but at the end of the day, brother, I know your heart. I know who you are. God says, I look at you and I know your works. See, I set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength. This was a little church, but you've kept my word. And you have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, and also I will keep from you the hour of trial, which will come to test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and to the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Verse 13, hang on it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This one little church thousands of years ago will be the example set for the world to come centuries later. Like the pastor and the guitarist singing Silent Night that night, having no idea the magnitude of what God was going to do that would amaze generations to come. You think this church in Philadelphia at their business meeting sat around and said, hey guys, we need to take this seriously. They're probably going to be preaching about us 2,000 years from now. What God does remarkably, amazingly through the faith of man. What God accomplishes in the faith of his church, which begins with the faith of an individual connected to the strength of his church for the profit of the entire world. Have you been faithful pouring out what has been so freely and graciously poured in? Do you know your gifts? Are you faithful with pouring them out? As we start to close in here, I want to give you three encouragements and three reminders, and then I'm going to sum it up with the main point here. Number one, remember why you were given gifts. If you got lost and you're still thinking about Stan Lee and Spider-Man, I want you to make sure that you leave the building understanding a few things. And number one, I was given gifts for the profit of all. The gift that you have been transformed by is not just for you. It is not just for your family. I hope you bless your children, your husband, your wife, your neighbors, your coworkers. But your gifts were given for the profit of all people. Number two, pouring out into others is not always easy or natural. Pouring out is not always easy. Understand that the profit of all is always going to require the sacrifice of at least one. Hear me. The profit of all is always going to require at least the sacrifice of one. How can I best serve my church? Why? Because I want to see the honor to God go to the ends of the earth. How can I do this faithfully? We talked about the funny examples of Brad singing Mary, Did You Know? And Amber doing youth group. And then Greg Milner literally walks these hallways to make sure no one comes and gets me in the middle of a sermon. He'll do it every single week with a good attitude. I love Greg Milner. I think he's out there right now probably. If I called Greg at 2 a.m. and I said, Greg, I need you here today. The toilet is literally overflowing. He'd be like, Hunter, I'm already dressed, shoes already laced, I'm on my way. What can I do to best serve the church for the profit of all people, big and small areas of my life? How can I bless this? How can I be a part of the same direction, the same purpose, and the same desire? Understand that doing that is not always easy. I talk to so many at times, and for example, I'll say, hey, Wendy, and this is an example. Hey, Wendy, we need you in this area. And I'll get people going, hey, listen, I don't understand. That's not where I'm good at. That's not where I'm comfortable at. That's not really something I want to do. You don't understand my schedule. You don't understand the season. At times, the profit of all is going to take the sacrifice of one. Hunter, I'm tired. Thank God. Thank God. I pray that the Lord comes back and we are exhausted for the profit of many. Lastly, your presence is more of a gift than you realize. Your presence is more important and profitable than you realize. Do you know how encouraged I and everyone in here are today because we are seeing so many of you that we might not have seen in weeks, days, or months. I see Chris and Rhonda, and guys, I could do this for the next 100 years just because I see their face. Chris Bird and what God was doing in Chris Bird's life, like he was a thermometer of the Holy Spirit being real when he was here. Man, we were like, oh man, God is real, God is good. Just look at what he's doing. And my brother Chris, when I see Samantha who just had a baby and she's here, do you know how excited I am to see her? Allie Simpson and so many that are in the medical field who are uncomfortable right now with everything. When you are here, just here with us, your presence is more profitable than you realize. Lastly, I want you to see the big picture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is looking at these people about the Lord's Supper and he says, guys, what are you doing? This is more about tradition. You don't know why you're doing this. You don't know what you're doing this. You don't know what repentance is. You don't know what celebration is. You're just drinking wine and eating bread. You're wasting all of your time. This is for naught. This is more disrespectful than honoring. Do you remember that? And he teaches them on all of those things. And then fast forward to chapter 12, and he says, do you understand that when you believe in Jesus and you are saved by God, do you understand that you have been gifted in ways to bless this gathering for the profit of all? And he starts teaching them about all the gifts so their gathering can prosper. He goes, oh, I understand this. In chapters 13, he talks to them about love. He says, listen, Philip and I might be different. Brad Douglas and Brad Baker might be different, but we are called to love one another, show grace to one another, show mercy to one another. That is how the world will know that he exists, by how we treat each other. They're like, oh man, I understand. I understand repentance, and I understand gifts, and I understand love. He says, listen, chapter 14, understand how the church should look. The order of the church and what the gathering should look like. They're growing and they're strengthening. And then we get to chapter 15. In chapter 15, you can almost picture this moment where they're all sitting there. They're growing in knowledge and they're growing in faith. And then one guy goes, hey, I get it. But why should we be doing all of these things? And Paul says, brothers, I declare to you the gospel. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you've also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved. If you hold fast to that word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to those scriptures. In verse 9, he says, I'm the least of these. I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am not just naturally Spider-Man. I am Peter Parker, selfish and broken and greedy. But God has done something in me, and that is why. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And in his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. The reason that we desire, the reason that we have purpose, the reason that we see so much accomplishment through faith is not natural abilities, but what God has done in us. Our knowledge of the gospel, which has transformed our heart, which we have responded in life. Your life after being born again, no matter where you are in sanctification, is all one big response to your knowledge, what has been poured into you. Man, when you understand what you are now versus what you used to be, those individuals live sacrificially for the profit of all out of a response to what God has done in one. I pray right now, if you do not know that Jesus, if you have born and raised in the Bible Belt, and all you have heard is come to church and serve in nursery, and God is good, don't be late, tuck your shirt in, be that individual, but you don't know the Jesus in which we just read about, the Jesus that's worth everything, that Jesus that is worth your exhaustion, the Jesus that you love to serve sacrificially, the Jesus that is worth your gifts and your talents and your time and your money and your focus and your desire. If that is not the Jesus you know, then you do not know Jesus. And I pray here now, Lord, save them. And I pray that God steps forward in your life. And as you see the light of Jesus, you see the sin of you. And you pray, Lord, take my life now. Help me submit and follow you faithfully. If you are born again and you are a believer of Christ and spiritual gifts and serving and being faithful, what has been given to you, if that is your struggle, I pray that you don't ask for more time to rest, but you ask for strength to continue to be faithful. God, help me be a part of the prophet of all. And then lastly, as I told you, it didn't have to be a hard message. For all those that are being so faithful right now with what God has called us to and what God is doing at this church, continue. Thank you. Be faithful. God is doing an amazing work. And thank you for being a part of it. I pray for your strength daily. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for today. Lord, I look back. I was telling Wendy just last night, and I know you heard me in the car. I told Wendy last night, I laughed and said, man, at 18 years old, I would have called you a liar if you said I was going to be a pastor. What you have done or what you have chosen to do in my life makes no sense to anybody but you. I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for the gifts. I thank you for the talents and the desire, the heart change, my new passions, the things that I find life in now that I used to not find life in the past. My life is completely different. Today's Hunter does not know yesterday's Hunter, and I thank you for that. I pray that when I get tired, then I get weak, when I get down, when I get discouraged, Lord, you fill me with your spirit to continue to be faithful. For the profit of all people, I want to see your church thrive. I want to see our people in the world, our brothers in different countries and states, our sisters in Christ, our children wanting to know Jesus. I want us all to prosper in our growth in knowledge and faith in you. Lord, I pray that you continue to do remarkable things in this church. Lord, I pray that every gathering, people just leave feeling such a filled spirit that you are real, that you are here, that you are doing amazing things through faith. Please, Lord, continue to bless the faithful. Lord, I pray that no one gets sick from our time together. I pray that no one is quarantined by our time together. Lord, I pray that you continue to fill this space. The church is essential. Bring us to that essential place. Lastly, God, if someone does not know you, Lord, I pray that you put the heavy weight of encouragement, truth, and conviction so much on their shoulders they can barely stand. I pray that you step forward in their life and literally that heaven's light shines upon them and they see your grace and your perfection in the midst of their sin and their brokenness. Lord, I pray that today you save the lost that are here hearing this message. In your precious, in your holy name, the church says, amen.